Welcome to this edition of Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy, Hold, Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to the thematic discussion brought to you by Livewire Markets. I'm Matthew Kidman, and today we're going to talk about what's happened over the year. It is December, we're all exhausted, and what a year it's been. We've been up, down, up again, and guess what? The index is the same as it was on January 1, but it doesn't feel that way. It has been enormous change that we've all lived through, and all good stock pickers change their portfolio, and their portfolio speaks to them. It talks to them and tells them what's happening out in the market. And to discuss the situation, we've got Ben Rundle from Naos Asset Management, Steve Johnson from Forager Funds. Steve, start with you. What is your portfolio whispering to you? Sweet nothings at the moment. Is it a good environment? And have you turned it over a lot since that way back on January 1 when the index was about the same as it is now?
Maybe start with the second question, Matthew. The answer is yes, quite a bit of change. And for us, that the biggest difference has been out of some things that hadn't been working for us for years and into some businesses that are performing very, very well. So the quality of the portfolio has improved quite a bit. And that's a lot easier to do when you've got lots of opportunities in front of you. We probably should have done it earlier, but easier to do when there's lots of opportunities in front of you. I'd describe the overall opportunity set as probably a 6 out of 10. It's a little bit better than average.
What was it in March, or end of March?
A 10 out of 10 in terms of good. Yeah, and it's hard to convince investors. You know, I've had people ring me up in the past week. I've seen this vaccine news. Must be a great time to invest. I want to put some money in. That's like calling your bookmaker after the Melbourne Cup and saying, Maccabee Diva's won. I want to put some money on it. It just doesn't work like that, right? We've seen the market move a lot. And I think the opportunity set is worse today than it was even a month ago or 2 months ago. But it's still good. I still think you own equities for the next 10 years here and you're going to do fine. And I still think there's a lot of diversity out there in terms of pricing of individual businesses. And for us as stock pickers, that's a healthy environment for adding a bit of value over and above what markets do.
Geez, we're talking 10 years, Ben. I'm trying to get through this year. I'll put the same question to you. A lot has changed. The index might be flat, and that's just the way it's panned out over 12 months. But has the opportunity changed? We are in a recovery. We have got lower interest rates. How does that affect your portfolio?
Look, I think from a general investor standpoint, the opportunity has changed because what's happened is there's been a huge amount of stimulus coming to the market, and all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of economic indicators really improving from where they were. And I think you can continue to see that drive the overall economy. So from where we sit at the moment, there seems to be a lot of opportunities and a lot of rocks to look under. To Steve's point about portfolio turnover, I was having a look before this about what our portfolio looks like now versus 12 months ago, because I think that's an interesting exercise to go through, particularly given what the market's done. And I was quite surprised there was only two changes to our portfolio, and that's a little bit due to our investment process. So we are super concentrated investors. We've only got about 10 to 12 holdings in each fund. And the very nature of their liquidity means that we can't move, you know, if there's a huge sell-off, we're not selling out of our position the following day. And Steve makes that point too. You know, you get calls from investors sort of saying, well, move into this part of the market, move into that part of the market. And I think, you know, action for the sake of action doesn't generate investment returns. You always find yourself chasing your tail. So, you know, fortunately, that strategy for us this year has worked out quite well, and you end up being in stocks that eventually start to do well, and you've got a position in your set and you can ride that wave.
So those two new positions that you've taken, was that towards the bottom? Was there value created? And where did you move into?
Well, we got lucky with one. We got a takeover bid in January or February for one of our stocks and sold into that prior to the pandemic. There was only one new position. We topped up an existing position, but the way that we look at new positions in the portfolio, typically it'll be a company that we've been looking at for a long time. And, you know, in a market where you do get a sell-off, then that's your opportunity to buy something that you've maybe liked for a long period of time when the valuation just didn't make sense. And that was the case with this particular stock. So they do provide opportunities, depending on how much cash you're sitting on, depends on how much you can take advantage of them. I think that, just creating portfolio turnover for the sake of it doesn't generate a healthy return.
Now, we'll leave that cash for a second. We'll come back to it. Steve, where is the opportunity? If you think you're going to be in the equity market for 10 years, you're a value investor. Where is the value sector-wise at the moment?
I would say it's more individual stocks across the market. But if I had to pick one when I look at our portfolio at the moment, I would say really well-run discretionary retailers. There are plenty of opportunities in that space that we are looking at the moment, and own at the moment. So we own Motorcycle Holdings. We've recently added a bit of Michael Hill and Shaver Shop. Three examples, I think, of businesses where people have forgotten that the consumer was really struggling leading into COVID. You know, we had 2 and 3 years of a consumer that was battling, and lots of these businesses were doing it tough with pretty low same-store sales rates.
Credit crunch.
And I think what Ben's touched on there, this stimulus rolling into 2021, I honestly think this is a bit of a World War II moment. You had the Depression in 1929, you had 10 years of economies really struggling to get started, and then a war, and everyone said this is going to be a disaster, all these governments are taking on debt and it's terrible, and it turned out to be the massive stimulus that the economy needed. And I think we're going to sit here at the end of 2021 and into 2022 and say we actually needed that combination of fiscal monetary stimulus is not working, has not been working for years. You finally got the fiscal stimulus behind it. And I think some of these businesses have been working really, really hard through difficult times to improve their businesses, to get more productive. In the case of Motorcycle Holdings, it's bought a bunch of businesses that were struggling at the time. It's got the rights to sell Indian here in Australia. It's not the same business that it was in 2019. And I think although the share prices are up, everyone is just looking at it saying it's going to go back to 2019 profitability. And I think it'll do much better than that over time.
Okay, Ben, let's get back to your scenario, cash.
Yep.
How much do you hold at the moment compared to what you would have done 12 months ago? Because that's a pretty good sign of actually how you're feeling.
Yeah, it is. So cash for us is a direct reflection of the opportunity that we're seeing in the market. So at the moment, we sit on about 5% cash. I think pre the pandemic, we had about 10% cash. So typically very low. And actually, I was going back through fund manager monthlies the other day and looking at what everyone was holding, at the bottom of the pandemic. And there was a long list of fund managers holding 40 and 50% cash at the absolute bottom, which, tendency, leans you towards that way to be cautious. But typically for us, we sit on very low cash levels purely because we are concentrated. And if we can find an opportunity, we aren't trying to time the market. We'll invest if we think the company we're investing in is at the right valuation, regardless of what we think the market's going to do.
But you have got less cash, which is a good sign. Yep. It must mean you're generally positive.
Yep.
Put the same thing, you're looking at stocks all the time. Sector-wise, what looks attractive now? What would you be focusing your attention on?
So I think Steve makes a good point, is there's certain stocks and there's certain parts of sectors that I think look interesting at the moment. So I'll give you an example. If you look at the tech sector, I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't agree that the tech theme or tailwind will continue for quite a few years' time. Now, most of the sector looks screamingly expensive, but there are certain pockets of the sector which don't. So Superloop, I think, is an example where it's a business that you can buy it at below replacement cost. Their assets are relatively new, and so because of that, I think the most utilised part of their network is only about 30% at the moment. So you've gone through this investment phase, and now you're going through the earnings growth phase where you're getting a huge tailwind of people requiring more data, faster internet, and that fibre network will really become an infrastructure-like asset that's going to have a significant amount of earnings growth over the next 4 or 5 years.
So put the same question to you. Cash, it's an insight.
Yep.
More or less than, say, 12 months ago?
Less. So 5 to 15 for us is normal. We are currently at 5. We were running on fumes up until a few months ago. We literally had every cent that we could scrape up invested. And I still think it's reasonably prospective out there. But again, it's changed a lot even in the past month. Portfolio's up 13, 14%, both of our international and Aussie fund just in the last month. And that's on the back of a pretty strong period prior to that. So I still think it's a good opportunity set. It's just not what it was a few months ago.
So if I went back 12 months, you were close to that 15% mark.
Would have been about 10 in both funds. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So
I do think people pay me to invest their money in the stock market, and I want to be mostly invested most of the time. So for us, that means in that 5 to 15 range, 8 years out of 10, I would say. If we're above that, I'd take it as a signal. If we're in that range, you know, it could change overnight. It could change with one idea. It could be a restructuring or a cap raise or a takeover that changes that cash weighting for us fairly significantly just from one week to the next. So, you know, 5 to 15 is just normal operating levels of cash, I'd say.
So it's been an unusual year. 20-odd years I've been around, I've never seen something drop 38% and then get it all back before the year was out. Lessons out of 2020. What have you learned as a portfolio manager? Because you can't sit here and tell me you've experienced this before. It's new.
It is new. And number one lesson for me, businesses are dynamic things. They're not spreadsheets. We all sat there in March and we said, well, this business's revenue is going to be down 30% and therefore it's going to be losing money and you know, it's worth nothing. And that was a massive, massive mistake from people, because when you've got a business with a good management team and someone with a whole heap of skin in the game, they can change what that business does. They can change its cost base. And you've seen dozens and dozens and dozens of businesses turn around and say, okay, our revenue is down 30%, but our margins are actually up. Ben and I are both big shareholders in a company called Eniro, which has done an absolutely sensational job through this environment. It's in marketing services. You know, everyone looked at it and said, this thing's going to get absolutely hammered. And they made more profit last financial year than they made the year before. And that's been the really big thing for me. I think if you can find the right business, you just trust the management to get on with adapting to the environment, and you don't need to worry about it anywhere near as much as an investor.
So from that, don't be as scared as the real world feels, because businesses can evolve. Is that what you're saying?
They can evolve and they can adapt to the environment that they're in, yes. And I think that's why it's important that they've got the balance sheet to manage that. You need to look at financial leverage and those types of things, but also look at the incentives for the management team to really do something about it. And I made another mistake back in March of thinking, okay, there's going to be all these capital raisings. I want a little shareholding in all these companies that are going to raise capital. So we went, where's all of the debt? Let's go around and buy a little bit of shares in all these companies that have got debt. And you know, all the companies that raised money were the ones where there was no skin in the game. The investment banker rocks up to the board and says, you guys need money and, you know, there's no risk, there's no downside for people that don't own shares. And we should have thought about where are the incentives, not where's the balance sheet risk, because Motorcycle Holdings had a lot of debt. We didn't buy anywhere near as much as we should have at the bottom, but the guy who owns it owns 30% and he's not diluting himself unless he absolutely needs to. So that was a second lesson for us, yeah.
Ben, I'm sure back in March you thought, well, there goes an error. There goes our biggest investment. Yeah. We all had those moments.
Yeah.
But what were your lessons? Because no one wrote the book for us.
No.
Going back in January when we were listening to some elevator music.
Yeah. So look, I think the best lessons you get in investing are when you lose a lot of money. Because, you know, if you make a lot of money, you think you're a genius. If you lose a lot of money, that's really where you get found out. So going through that huge sell-off period, it was, a lot of people remember it, you know, we're at home, there was no one to sort of talk to in the office and sort of say, what's going on, what do you think? It was very much, you know, you're on your own, looking at stocks fall very, very aggressively. So what I did was actually create a daily diary and wrote down just some of the things that I was seeing, some of the things that were happening. And since then, I've gone back and looked at that diary, and I mean, granted, we've come out of this sell-off period a lot quicker than what we've seen in the past. But, you know, going back and having a look at some of the things that were happening, it's an absolute 100% different story today. And I think the lesson I learned out of that is that, you know, the good times don't last forever, but neither do the bad times. And as I said, you know, it did recover probably a little bit more quickly than what we've seen, you know, from other crises. But, you know, it's still the same in terms of, you know, at the bottom, it seems like the world is ending. And then, you know, a couple of years or a couple of months later, things can really change. And I think that's, you know, something to just keep in mind with investing, that, you know, the market hasn't gone to zero.
But you do panic.
It's grown over time.
But you do, not you, but generally we all panic in that situation.
I think everyone panics in that situation. I think, you know, the best thing you can do is, you know, Steve said, you know, it'll make you realise, you know, which companies are strong and which ones you want to own. And I think coming out of it, if you tilt your portfolio in that direction, then you'll do extremely well when the recovery comes.
You can write it down. The good times are going to keep rolling.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.